This is the Anderson Pens Podcast, episode 10 for Sunday, July 29th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Pens Radio Network. Welcome.
Number 10. That's
number
crazy.
Number 10, yeah. This is the birthday edition.
I'm going to skip right over that. Thank you.
Skip right over that? I don't think so.
I do.
For those who don't know, today is Lisa's 29th birthday.
29 with several years experience is how I think of it. Thank you.
So, anyway, we'll cover that a little bit in a little bit. Over the weekend, we found out that our dear friend Ginger Welch experienced a house fire at her home in Texas. And that, worse than that, her longtime partner, Stan Pfeiffer, died. Stan had been ill for a few years, but this was a terrible tragedy for all involved. House fires is tragic enough, but I can't imagine the devastation loss that Ginger's going through.
It's awful.
Yeah. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Ginger and to the families of both Stan and Ginger. Stan, for those of you who don't know, not only had an amazing collection of pens, many very, very, very rare red hard rubber overlays, Parkers, and other truly one-of-a-kind pieces, but he was also the organizer and, along with Ginger, ran the LA show for many, many years.
Yep.
He had written several articles for the various pen magazines, and even had a few articles written about him and his collection as well. The pen community will mourn his loss.
Absolutely. And can't even imagine what Ginger's going through. It's just unbelievable. Not the way you pictured things to happen.
Yep.
So pretty. So. Our thoughts go out to Ginger. On a happier note, you may notice that we are wearing Syracuse University t-shirts this week. Big thanks to my cousin Sandy for sending them as a total surprise set of t-shirts for my birthday and a birthday card that actually was more for Brian than for me. lots of cute and kind of embarrassing pictures of Sandy and I growing up, all in matching outfits, like I mentioned last podcast. I don't think Brian realized just how serious my mom and my Aunt Carol were about this.
Yeah, some of those were something else.
I didn't realize we were still dressing alike at even 15 or 16. We did finally grow up and learn to dress ourselves and no longer match. So that's a good thing. Except now at age 29 plus, we match again since Sandy also has a Syracuse U t-shirt. But the box was a blast to open up, and Brian and I both wear our Syracuse shirts proudly. Go Orange.
Go Orangemen.
And let's see, I would like to show off my birthday pen.
Happy birthday to you.
I don't know if you could see it this way. Believe it or not, it's a Mont Blanc. And we don't do Mont Blancs for a number of reasons, partly on principle. don't go there. I'll be good. But we had one similar to this a while back that we sold because it had a broad nib, and neither of us just really liked the broad nib. But this one is, which one is this? A 124.
A 124, yeah.
And it really is a great writer. I don't know if you can see the nib. Awesome pen. You got it in Raleigh?
Raleigh, yep.
Okay.
You've been looking at it for a couple of shows and...
yeah, I had.
Just decided it was time to cut the cord.
So I got that. I got a Coach wallet in this gorgeous shade of blue and a beautiful glass wine decanter. Kids gave me a funny card and some candy, which is their standard birthday gift for the parents, and a really sweet tray for my desk that says, be true, be merry, be good, be real, be happy. I don't collect pens quite as much as Brian does anymore, so I'm thrilled with everything I got. But when it comes to holidays, I do really like to surprise Brian and get him pens that he's not expecting. So,
does that mean you got me a present for your birthday?
You got a t-shirt. What else do you want? It's my birthday. It's you got candy too. How come you got presents on my birthday? I don't think I got presents on your birthday.
I don't know.
I blame the kids.
Anyway.
Speaking of shopping. What'd you buy on eBay this week?
What did I buy on eBay? Oh my goodness. Let's take a look here.
All right.
Some interesting stuff this week and a little surprise.
Ooh. Uh-oh. Does a surprise mean something's coming this way?
No.
Okay.
No. Actually, I stumbled across this first auction and I thought I was just dreaming because you don't ever see this pen show up. And, you know,
stuck on the price tag.
You're stuck on the price tag. Yeah. $1,102.77. 24 bids wins this. I guess the description is pretty accurate here. Ultra rare 1919 Waterman 35th anniversary pen. Now, it's $1,100. What's the big deal? Well, in 1919, thereabouts, the 35th anniversary of Waterman, they came out with a special edition pen, which had a Stanhope in the cap. Now, if you don't know what a Stanhope is, Stanhope is this little device here at the end of, you see it at the top of the clip. And what you do is you hold it up to your eye, and then you hold it up to a light source, and then you see like a little, some kind of image. Now, I believe on this particular model, the image was of the Waterman building. I could be incorrect, but
that's funky.
Yeah, they had another one for, I believe, the Woolworth building, and other companies had them. I've actually even seen an Esterbrook that had a Stanhope in it.
Oh, very cool.
Was not factory, I'm sure, but somebody had done it. But you could find all sorts of different kinds of Stanhopes, but this one was a special edition. In fact, I'll show you right here. You can kind of see this is a Model 13, which seems to be the model that these came in. And there's the back of the Stanhope. Looks like maybe there's some crystallization there. But if you see that clearly in this image, little special imprint there, 35th yep. anniversary.
Very cool.
So it's a number 13 pen. It's an eyedropper, black chased hard rubber, of course.
You like those.
Do like those, yeah. It's got the nickel clip. New York nib. It's a little rough around the clip, but when are you going to find it, you know? Looks like it had been used pretty well. Nice. Looks like a stub nib even on this one, which is kind of cool. There was another version. If you look in the Waterman book, the Max Davis Scary Lair book, they also show another 35th anniversary Stanhope, which is also a 13, but it has two gold-filled bands on the barrel too. So this is the other version. So this is interesting to see, $1,100. Apparently my initial bid of $100 didn't win, so.
Good try.
Yeah. Moving on to something completely different. Here we've got a Conklin. Nice looking Conklin
Pretty.
Crescent, gold-filled filigree. Looks like a clipless model here. $456, 15 bids. It's got a beautiful filigree pattern.
Well, honey, you shouldn't have.
I shouldn't have. Yeah, I know. Let's take a look at some bigger pictures here. Now, what's interesting about this pen is it actually has an 18-carat nib. And it's marked 18 carats, not 14 carat. If you're looking at, see this image here of this pen, you can see how long and narrow those tines are. So this thing is probably flexing just by breathing on the picture here. I mean, it's just really a stunning pen. Nice floral pattern.
Pretty.
Very pretty. Yep. Lots of good pictures in this auction. This is how you sell a pen. Yep. On eBay, if you can't go to a pen show, you can be pretty safe. Knowing what you're getting by someone who's doing this kind of presentation. So
lots of pictures to show the good points, and if there are any flaws, you know, it's mm-hmm. always better to see a picture of it than to have a surprise later and then have to deal with trying to hope the seller corrects it.
Right. Yeah, and here we go. Here's, look at this. We're talking fine to double broad, flex. Nice.
That's flexy.
Restored pen. Very, very pretty. So someone's going home with a good pen. And it's full size too, 5 1/4 inch.
Awesome. So it's not a ring top.
It's not a ring top. No, just a clipless, which is kind of nice, mm-hmm. I think. So 456 could have been yours. And now, in
not
honor...
Not with a flexi nib, would not have been mine.
Yeah, an 18-carat flexible nib, no less.
Oh, so, yeah, no.
Which is pretty uncommon, so perhaps this was for maybe export to France or something. I'm not sure, but you don't see 18-carat in the States usually.
Cool.
And now, in honor of the birthday girl...
Uh-oh.
This week...
Some other pen. What is it?
We pay homage to your heritage... The 1935 Pinol number one, Danish pen.
Awesome.
Super yay. From Denmark. Let's see if we have some more pictures here. This is
super mint. Flex nib.
It's a nice red color. Looks like a button filler.
Aren't most of them?
I
think they are.
I think so. There are some lever fillers. Actually, I think you have a Pinol number one, as I recall.
Look at me.
It's got some flex to the nib. Nice 14-carat.
Ooh, yeah.
Pinol nib.
And that's coming home?
No, it's not coming home.
Oh.
In fact, in this case, they even took the nib out of the pen to show it. That's kind of... Always makes me nervous when guys do that.
Yeah. A little risky in my book.
They take the whole thing apart. But in case you're wondering, Pinol was... Danish company, Christian Olsen, and they also distributed Parker pens. In fact, you can find a number of Parker pens that were distributed or that they come with the little anchor symbol on the barrel.
In the circle.
Yep. Christian Olsen was a big fan of his big seaman, and so he that was his logo. But nice-looking pen, $255. 12 bids, so there's some interest in this one.
Yep. Well, for a working Pinol, most of them are broken, and the filling system has to be replaced.
Yep. So
fixed, repaired, whatever it is you repair people do.
So there it is, in honor of your birthday.
Well, thank you.
The 1935 Pinol. So.
Very cool. Wait, so... But what's the date got to do with it? I wasn't born in 35.
No, you weren't born in 35, but that just happens to be what it is.
All right, just checking.
So, anyway, that's vintage eBay for the week. Let's move on to some modern, huh?
So that you can shop again or pretend to shop again next week. You call it research, right?
Oh, it's totally research.
Yeah. Let's see. New on the web. I spent a large part of the past few days working on some brand new pad designs and note card designs, and we will have about 50 or more new designs up on the website soon. With Brian's new job, our schedule is a little off right now, so we will get them up as soon as we can. We also have a few new pen lines coming in over the next 2 weeks, plus some really cool new stuff that we will be unveiling in DC, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about some of the pens that are coming in DC. In fact, they're getting shipped to the hotel, so we don't even get to see them before they get there. But I suppose we can talk about one of them right now.
A little bit.
There is I guess it's kind of a teaser. There is a new pen coming to the production line for Edison Pens.
Awesome.
It draws its inspiration from some vintage pens from the 30s. Pretty nice looking pen. So that's probably more than I should have said. So stay tuned for details. So
That's probably as far as we'll go. But keep an eye on things in the next couple days.
Yep.
So, and what's going on the workbench? I did see you slaving away over something really pretty this morning.
Well, you know, sometimes morning's the best time to work on pens, at least for me. that's not often a chance I get to work on something quite this beautiful. But I've been restoring a red and black modeled hard rubber Esterbrook Relief Model 1. And we got this pen a while back, but it came to us with an incorrect number 2 nib. And with the Relief series pens, the nib number corresponds with the model. So if it's a Model 1, it should have a model number. It should have a number 1 nib. If it's a Model 2, it has a number 2 nib. If it's a Model 3, and so on and so forth. So this one had a number 2 nib, which isn't the end of the world because the 2 size is a little bit bigger. But the correct nib's a number 1. So earlier this year, I managed to find a Relief number 2 with the number 1 nib. So I could swap the 2 nibs around, and we have a correct pen.
Yay!
And there were also some plier marks on the section that I hadn't noticed upon further examination. And the modeling in the pen actually kind of hid them a little bit. So there was a little bit of a challenge to get those out. I've outlined the procedure before in one of our first earliest blog posts, but essentially a hard rubber has a memory. So as long as you haven't sanded off an indentation, the heat will pop the marks back out to its original shape. Little final polish and the marks are gone. So a little detailing in this pen is ready to go back together. Actually, it did finish it. Very pretty pen.
Pretty pen.
You know, it has the modeled hard rubber feed. But here's the with the cap on.
Yeah, very pretty.
Nice marbling.
I was kind of hoping that maybe I got an extra birthday present.
Extra birthday present.
I think that might be for a customer.
It might be. It might be making its way into someone else's home. But regardless, I wanted to get that nib changed out. And while I had it apart, I figured I might as well do a little extra detailing on it.
Yep.
Get it really, really super ready. So that's kind of it for the bench this week. Bunch of normal Esterbrook stuff otherwise. So
getting ready for the show.
Getting ready for the show. That's right. We have Esterbrook discussion this week.
We do, and it actually ties into your repair.
Ah, okay.
We sometimes get questions about pens that a person has purchased either through a private sale or more often from eBay. Maybe a pen was listed as Esterbrook, but it doesn't look like an Esterbrook. So what did I buy? Many people think that what they purchase is a Conway Stewart, but it's not marked that way. So, you know, I bought this Esterbrook and often they'll say, you know, it's rare. I've never seen it. What is it? And we get those types of questions a lot.
Yeah. One of Esterbrook's most popular and famous nibs in the early days was the Relief nib. In the mid-1930s, Conway Stewart was making pens for all sorts of companies, department stores, you name it. And one of those was Esterbrook under the Relief brand name. Now, these were high-quality pens. And like you've seen, this is you can't tell from here, but this is a very well-made, very well-put-together pen.
Gorgeous pen.
High-quality pens, 14-carat nibs. And they were available as lever fillers, button fillers, which they actually referred to as stud fillers, piston fillers even, and even eyedropper fillers. Available in black chased hard rubber, modeled hard rubber, and later made in all sorts of marbled combinations, made from casein. So
don't soak them.
Yeah, don't get them wet, or they will melt essentially. Very, very pretty pens. Available in several sizes, everything from a slender checkbook-sized, lady-sized pen to the largest size, which was as big as a Parker Senior Dual Fold. I mean, it's a very
big
large
pen.
Pretty hard to find. Many of the nibs on these pens are broad or better. Apparently, it was very popular for this particular pen. And the pens are marked on the barrel and on the nib with the Esterbrook name. Later plastic models, caisson models, are marked on the nib only, but they're still marked relief on the barrel.
Now, for those of us who don't collect relief, and I never really did, which is why we didn't compete too much against each other for
Thank goodness.
What does the relief mean, anyway?
Relief was Esterbrook's word for a oblique. So, essentially, a relief nib is oblique. A degree of obliqueness, I guess you might say. To confuse matters, most, but not all, of the relief-branded pens had oblique nibs. So a relief pen can have a relief nib or it can have a standard nib. So
no wonder people email us about this.
but in most cases, the relief branded pens do have an oblique nib, and it's usually, like I say, it's medium broad. I mean, I have one that's a triple broad. It's crazy. But they're awesome pens, and
pretty.
You know, when you can find them, buy them. They're nice pens.
Yeah, so, very, very pretty.
So, speaking of buying pens, pen show's coming up. What do we got here?
DC is coming up fast. In fact, in less 2 weeks from right now, we'll be in DC, which I think I have a headache now. I've already started to pack, which is good. The week or so before a pen show is crazy busy, and I find I have to start earlier and earlier. Maybe it has to do with the fact that we keep bringing more and more to each show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Brian has to finish up bunches of repairs for customers so we can ship those out before we leave, as well as several new vintage pens that we'll have available at the show. I'm getting tired just thinking about it.
Yeah, and we should have, by the time DC comes, we have a new consignment lot, some pretty cool stuff in that lot too. So,
over 40 new pens?
Yeah, 40 new pens, some very, very cool stuff.
New to us.
Yeah, new to us. But cool stuff, so that'll be, we got to fit that in the car somewhere.
Oh, God. On your lap while I drive? Under your feet like
a
footrest?
Hey, look at this.
I hate that.
So, if you're going to be in D.C., please stop by and say hi. We'll be there Friday morning sometime.
Yep.
Through Sunday. So
Sunday night.
Yep. Stop by, say hi, and check the show out. If you're in the area, it's no miss. You have to do it. So, anything else? I feel like giving something away. Should we give something away this week?
Awesome. Super yay. I love giveaways.
All right. How about from today until August 25th?
That's a long time.
It's a month, roughly. Okay. So you got pretty much most of August. Let's take some postcards or letters. And on August 26th, which will be our last podcast for the month, on that day, let's give away, the winner will be offered his or her choice of a Schaefer 100 pen, a bottle of Schaefer ink, and a notepad. Our friend Dave recently got a Schaefer 100. I think he got it in the red.
Loves it.
The red version. Yeah, translucent red. Loves it. He raved about it so much. I think we should get the word out about this pen. It's a good pen. So
share the love.
Yeah, it'll be a great pen to give away. And why don't you tell everybody what the options are here. So.
Play Vanna White.
There we go.
The pen color choices are the brushed chrome, which is really
That's
pretty.
That's nice. Yeah, I like that one.
Glossy black, matte black, matte blue, which is beautiful.
Yeah, that's nice too.
Matte gray, which is kind of a dark charcoal. Translucent blue or translucent red. You can see all of them on our website if you want to look at the color choices. Nib choices are fine or medium, keeps it simple. And the winner also gets to choose from the 8 Schaefer bottled ink colors, and we'll toss in a notepad. I can't talk today.
Pen, paper, and ink, all to the winner. So,
it'll be fun.
Yeah. So now through the end of August.
Yep. Send your entry in the form of a postcard or a letter. No emails, texts, or other electronic entries allowed. Has to be handwritten. And mail them to us at Anderson Pen's Schaefer Giveaway, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
And the winner will be drawn at random by our daughter, Lindsay, during the podcast. So
that's enough for this week, I think.
Okay, great. comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online at...
Email brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
You could find us on Twitter, twitter.com/andersonpens.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/andersonpens.
On the web, where you can see those Schaefer 100 and Schaefer ink colors, andersonpens.net.
And we have a blog, andersonpens.net/blog.
Join the mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
Bye.